Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 436, and it will play on the Feast of Trumpets this year. Sundown of the 18th to sundown of the 19th is the Feast of Trumpets. We're in the book of John. We're going to try to finish it up today, chapters 19, 20, and 21. This is the story of the impalement of Yeshua Messiah by the Edomites. So let's get started with this. Verse 1 of chapter 19. Then therefore Pilate took Yeshua and flogged him. He didn't do anything wrong, but they beat him anyway. Okay. Verse 2. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and placed it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. Verse 3, and came to him and said, "Greeting, sovereign of the Yehudim," and they slapped him in the face. Verse 4, and Pilate went outside again and said to them, that was the stacked crowd, okay, that the Edomites had assembled, "See, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no guilt in him." Verse 5. Then Yeshua came outside wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "See the man." Verse 6. So when the chief priests and officers saw him, those are temple officers, they were thugs under the sway of the Edomites, okay? They shouted, saying, "Impale! Impale!" That was a stacked deck. No chance. Pilate said to them, "You take him and impale him, for I find no guilt in him." Verse 7. The Yehudim answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, for he has made himself the son of Elohim. Verse 8. So when Pilate heard this word, he was more afraid, because something was going through the back of his head. What if this guy that's done all these miracles and stuff, what if he really is the son of Elohim? Ooh, okay. Verse 9, and went back into the palace and asked Yeshua, where are you from? But Yeshua gave him no answer. Verse 10, then Pilate said to him, do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I possess authority to impale you and I possess authority to release you? Here's verse 11, and reference wisdom. That's Wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha, chapter 6, verse 3. Chapter 6, verse 3. Yeshua answered, you would possess no authority against me if it were not given you from above. Of course, he had to have that authority because Yeshua had to be impaled in order to redeem all of us. It had to take place. Okay, continuing on. Because of this, he who delivered me to you has greater sin. That's the Edomites. The chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones that wanted him gone. Okay? And still want him gone today. Ha! Verse 12. From then on, Pilate was seeking to release him. But the Ya'udim shouted, saying, if you release this one, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a sovereign does speak against Caesar. Now these are the stacked deck Edomites that said that. Okay? They're not the Judahites that are of Judah. They're people that were living in the land of Judah that were Edomites. Verse 13. Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Yeshua out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Verse 14, and it was the preparation of the Pesach. That was the day before the Passover, and it was a preparation day, the day that they slaughtered the lambs. That's when the lambs were slaughtered. Okay. And about the sixth hour, and he said to the Ya'udim, see your sovereign. But they shouted, away, away, impale him. Pilate said to them, shall I impale your sovereign? The chief priest answered, we have no sovereign except Caesar. Okay. Verse 16. At that time then, he delivered him to them to be impaled, and they took Yeshua and led him away. Verse 17, and bearing his stake, that does not a cross, a stake. The cross is a church invention. He went out to the so-called place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. Verse 18, where they impaled him and two others with him. One on this side and one on that side, and Yeshua in the middle. Verse 19, and Pilate wrote a title too, and put it on the stake, and it was written, Yeshua of Nazareth, the sovereign of the Ya'udim. And that's the real people of Judah, okay? He was their king. but not the Edomites that were pretenders. Verse 20. Many of the Yehudim therefore read this title, for the place where Yeshua was impaled was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and in Roman. Verse 21. So the chief priests of the Yehudim said to Pilate, those were the Edomites, do not write the sovereign of the Yehudim, but he said, I am the sovereign of the Yehudim. Verse 22. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. And they couldn't do anything about it because he was the head guy. Okay. Verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had impaled Yeshua, took his outer garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part. In other words, they just stole his clothes. He was going to be dead. They didn't care. And the inner garment. But the inner garment was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. Verse 24. And you can reference Psalm 22, verse 18. That's Psalm 22, verse 18. So they said to each other, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, in order that the scripture might be filled, which said, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now that's Psalm 22:18. Okay. The soldiers therefore indeed did this. Verse 25. And by the stake of Yeshua stood his mother and his mother's sister, Miriam, the wife of Clophas, and Miriam from Magdala. Three women named Miriam. Miriam, his mother, not Mary, Miriam. Okay. Miriam, the wife of Clophas, and Miriam from Magdala. Verse 26. Then Yeshua, seeing his mother and the taught one whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, see your son. Verse 27. Then to the taught one he said, see your mother. And from that hour, that taught one took her to his own home. Verse 28 of chapter 19, reference Psalm 69:21. Psalm 69:21 and Psalm 22:15. 22:15. After this, Yeshua, knowing that all had been accomplished, in order that the scripture might be accomplished, said, I thirst. Verse 29. A bowl of sour wine stood there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and held it to his mouth. Verse 30, so when Yeshua took the sour wine, he said, it has been accomplished. Remember he said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until all is accomplished. It has been accomplished. And bowing his head, now here's the important part of this verse. He gave up his spirit. In other words, he allowed his spirit to leave that flesh body. They couldn't kill him. He could have come down off of there and slain them all. But he did this for us, okay? He gave up his spirit, a voluntary sacrifice by Yeshua. Verse 31. Therefore, since it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the stake on the Shabbat, for that Shabbat was a high one, that's Passover, a high Shabbat, the Yehudim asked Pilate to have their legs broken and that they be taken away. That way that they would strangle. They would have all the pressure put on their diaphragm and they wouldn't be able to breathe and they would die. Verse 32. Therefore the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was impaled with him. But when they came to Yeshua and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Remember that. They did not break his legs. Verse 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. He poked him with a spear, and instantly blood and water came out. Verse 35. And he who has seen has witnessed, and his witness is true. And he knows that he is speaking the truth in order that you might believe. Verse 36, reference Exodus chapter 12, verse 46. That's Exodus 12, 46. And the book of Numbers chapter 9, verse 12, Numbers 9, 12, and Psalm 34, 20, Psalm 34, 20, verse 36. For this took place in order for the scripture to be filled, not one of his bones shall be broken. Verse 37. And verse 37, you can reference Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and Revelations chapter 1, verse 17. That's Zechariah 12, 10, and Revelations 1, 17. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. All right. Now, here's verse 38, and this clears up something that I have been teaching for a long time. They keep calling this guy Joseph of Arimathea. That's wrong. He was not of Arimathea. Here's his proper name. Verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Ramathaim, that's R-A-M-A-T-H-A-Y-I-M, Ramathaim, being a taught one of Yeshua, but secretly, for fear of the Yehudim, in other words, the Edomites, not the Judahites, but those of Judea that were masquerading as Judahites, ask Pilate that he might take the body of Yeshua, and Pilate gave permission. Therefore, he came and took the body of Yeshua. All right. Now let's stop just for a second. Joseph of Ramathaim owned all, was very rich, owned the 10 mines and the processing and such in the British Isles. Okay? That's that Joseph. Okay, Yeshua, during his ministry, went to the British Isles and spent time with him. and taught him. That's why he was a taught one of Yeshua. Because the 4 years where Yeshua just disappeared, he went all over the place, including the British Isles, and taught this man. That's the history right there. So now you know who this man is. Verse 39. And you can reference the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. John 3, 1 and 2. Verse 39. And Nachdimon, who at first came to Yeshua by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Those are the spices. Remember, he told him, you must be born from above? He was a convert. Verse 40, then they took the body of Yeshua and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, because it was going to overcome the smell. Okay. As was the habit of the Ya'udim for burial. Because they didn't embalm like we do today. They wrapped them in spices so they wouldn't stink so bad. Verse 41. And at the place where he was impaled, there was a garden. And in the garden, a fresh tomb in which no one had yet been laid. It had just been carved out of the rock. Verse 42. There then, because of the preparation of the Ya'udim, those are the true people of Judah, it was Passover preparation day, they laid Yeshua because the tomb was near. Okay, preparation day. The day they slaughtered the lambs. The Lamb of Yahweh was slaughtered on that day for the remission of our sins. That's the significance of that. Verse 20. And on day one of the week. Okay. Day one of the week. You can see Deuteronomy 21. Verses 22 and 23. Or pardon me. That's my bad. One of the Sabbaths. I that was for chapter 19. This is for 20. That's one of the Sabbaths. Day one of the week. Okay. Miriam from Magdala came early to the tomb while it was still dark. Okay. Dimness or obscurity. You couldn't quite see. And saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Well, this was a tomb that was like a cave carved into the rock. And when they put somebody in there, they rolled this stone, this giant stone, and they had a depression where the stone would go into and seal it. And it went clunk down into it. And it took a bunch of men to roll that stone. Well, she saw the stone had been removed, rolled up out of the hole that was to hold it. That was a monumental feat of strength, okay? Verse 2. So she ran and came to Shimon Kepha, that's Simon Peter, and to the other taught one whom Yeshua loved, and said to them, They have taken the master out of the tomb, and we do not know where they laid him. Verse 3. Then Kepha and the other taught one went out, and they were going to the tomb. Verse 4. And the two were running together, but the other taught one outran Kepha and came to the tomb first. He beat him there. Verse 5. And stooping down, he saw the linen wrappings lying, but he did not go in. Verse 6. Then Shimon Kepha came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying. Verse 7. And the cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but folded up, in a place by itself. Now that's the one that they call the Shroud of Turin, that cloth that's supposed to have his face imprinted on it. Whether that is true or a myth or a scam, we don't know. But that's supposedly that cloth. Verse 8. So then, the other taught one who came to the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. Verse 9. For they did not yet know the scripture that he has to rise again from the dead. They didn't realize that. Verse 10. Therefore, the taught ones went away again by themselves. Verse 11. But Miriam, one of the Miriams, was standing outside by the tomb weeping. Then as she wept, she stooped down to the tomb. And this is what she saw. Verse 12. And she saw two messengers in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Yeshua had been lain. Now, messengers are angels, okay? That clarifies that for you, okay? These are divine messengers, better known in English as angels. Okay, that's more church stuff. Verse 13. And they said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" She said to them, "Because they took away my master, and I do not know where they laid him." Verse 14. And having said this, she turned around and saw Yeshua standing, but she did not know that it was Yeshua. She didn't know that. Because they didn't know he was supposed to rise from the dead. This is the third day here. Verse 15, Yeshua said to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Whom do you seek?" Thinking he was the gardener, because this tomb was in a garden, she said to him, "Master, if you have carried him away, say to me where you put him, and I shall take him away." Verse 16, Yeshua said to her, "Miriam." She turned and said to him, "Rabbi," I'm sorry, I'm a little broke up right now. She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. I know I'm a preacher and I'm supposed to read this stuff all the time, but it just gets to me. I'm sorry. It's too beautiful. Verse 17, Yeshua said to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my Elohim and your Elohim, verse 18. Miriam from Magdala came announcing to the taught ones that she had seen the Master and that he had told her this. Verse 19. When, therefore, it was evening on that day, day one of the week, that's one of the Sabbaths, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the taught ones met for fear of the Ya'udim, that's the Edomite Jews, Yeshua came and stood in the midst, that didn't open the doors, he just appeared, and said to them, peace to you. Verse 20. And having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The taught ones therefore rejoiced when they saw the Master. Verse 21. Then Yeshua said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Verse 22. Listen carefully. And having said this, he breathed on them, and Ruach is also called breath, and said to them, receive the set apart spirit, that's a Ruach Kadosh, the holy breath. Verse 23, reference Matthew 16, verse 19, and Matthew 18, 18, that's 16, 19, and 18, 18. Verse 23, let me get a drink of coffee. I've cleared up here a little bit. I'm sorry that I broke up a little bit. I can't read this without a great deal of emotion. It comes with it. I'm sorry if it sounds unprofessional, but I can't read it and not feel it. It's too much. Verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Verse 24, but to Omar, called the twin, that's Thomas, they call him Thomas, doubting Thomas, well, his name was to Omar, called the twin, one of the 12 was not with them when Yeshua came. Verse 25, so the other taught ones said to him, we have seen the Master. We have seen the Master. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and put my finger into the imprint of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I shall by no means believe. That's why they call him Doubting Thomas. Verse 26. And after 8 days, his taught ones were again inside, and Thomas with them. Yeshua came the doors having been shut. And he stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Didn't open the doors. He just appeared. Verse 27. Then he said to Tahoma, bring your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Verse 28. And Tahoma answered and said to him, my master and my Elohim. Verse 29. Yeshua said to him, Tahoma, because you have seen me, you have believed. Now listen to this. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. That's us. Verse 30. There were indeed many other signs that Yeshua did in the presence of his taught ones, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of Elohim, and that believing you might possess life. In his name. That ends chapter 20. Now here's chapter 21. And we're gonna finish this. I have the time. Verse 1 of chapter 21. After this, Yeshua manifested himself. You understand? Manifested himself. Well, Yahweh manifested himself as Yeshua, part of the Father. They're one in a flesh body. After this, Yeshua manifested himself again to the taught ones at the Sea of Kinnereth, and he manifested this way. Verse 2. Shimon Kepha, that's Simon Peter, and Tahoma, that's Thomas, called the twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zabdi, and two others of his taught ones were together. Verse 3, you can reference Luke 5, verse 5, Luke 5, 5. Shimon Kepha said to them, I am going to fish. They said to him, we are also coming with you. And they went out and immediately entered into the boat, and that night they caught none at all. Nothing. Boy, I've had that happen. Nothing. But when it became early morning, Yeshua stood on the beach. However, the taught ones did not know that it was Yeshua. Verse 5. Then Yeshua said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. Here's verse 6. Reference Luke chapter 5, verse 6. That's Luke 5, 6. And he said to them, throw the net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find. So they threw, and they were no longer able to draw it in because of the large number of fish. Verse 7. That taught one whom Yeshua loved then said to Kepha, is it the master? Then Shimon Kepha, hearing that it was the master, put on his outer garment, for he was stripped and plunged into the sea. Verse 8. And the other taught ones came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits. A cubit is about 18 inches. Okay. Dragging the net with fish. Verse 9. So when they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Verse 10. Yeshua said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Verse 11. Shimon Kepha went up and dragged the net to land, filled with 153 big fishes. And though there were so many, the net was not broken. That 153 are the books of the gospel. The ones that they have hidden, deleted. All the books of the gospel, well, they have cut so much out. There were originally 153 that we were supposed to have. That's the significance of that number. Verse 12. Yeshua said to them, come, have breakfast. And not one of the taught ones had courage to ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Master. Verse 13. Yeshua came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the same with the fish. Verse 14. This was now the third time Yeshua was manifested to his taught ones after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15. When, therefore, they had eaten breakfast, Yeshua said to Shimon Kepha, Shimon, son of Yonah, do you love me more than these? Loaded question. He said to him, yes, Master, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him again, the second time, Shimon, son of Yonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Master, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Shimon, son of Yonah, do you love me? Kepha was sad because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Master, you know all. You know that I love you. Yeshua said to him, feed my sheep. In other words, preach that gospel. Take it out and feed the sheep. Verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you shall stretch out your hands, and another shall gird you and bring you where you do not wish. Verse 19. Now this he said, signifying by what death he would esteem Elohim. And having said this, he said to him, follow me. Verse 20. And you can reference the book of John, chapter 13, verse 25. John 13, 25. And Kepha, turning around, saw the taught one whom Yeshua loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Master, who is the one who is delivering you up?" Verse 21, seeing him, Kepha said to Yeshua, "But Master, what about this one?" Verse 22, Yeshua said to him, "If I wish him to remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." In other words, if I want him to stay alive until I return, what difference is that to you? You follow me. He rebuked him. Peter, the hard-headed one. Verse 23, therefore this word went out among the brothers that this taught one would not die. That's what they said. Continuing on in verse 20, however, Yeshua did not say to him that he would not die, but if I desire him to remain until I come, what is it to you? In other words, if I choose to keep him alive that long, he didn't say he's not going to die, but if I choose to keep him here, what business is that of yours? Verse 24, this is the taught one who bears witness about these matters and wrote these matters, and we know that his witness is true. That's John. That's the one he was speaking of. John. Verse 25. Now there is much else that Yeshua did. Note this. If every one of them were written down, I think that the world itself would not contain the written books. Amen. That ends the book of John. Wow. That always gets to me. Every time I read this, my spirit is just overloaded, and I just can't bear it, and I get so emotional. That's the impact that this has. The beauty and the love and the power of what went on, what happened. And his manifesting himself to his taught ones. And I can just think ahead. If I'm still here in this old, worn-out body when he returns and I'm renewed, and I get to see him and bow before him, may he come soon. May he come soon. May Yahweh bless and keep all of you. It's a pleasure and an honor and a privilege reading these scriptures to you and imparting the little knowledge that I've got about them. You're my brothers and sisters, and I love you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Sinners, I plead. caution, the word of God, that's what I've done. And tonight I'm dying a sinner's death.
No one knows until they have to face it just how bad a sinner's death can be. Now as I plead with you, don't let it be with you as it's been with me.
As death's cold shadow hovers over me, to all sinners I plead with my last breath, don't shun the word of God, that's what I've done. And
claims me, no one says that I am gonna rest. When you look upon my face, have pity, yes, pity, and hope for the best.
As death's cold shadow hovers o'er me, to all sinners I plead.
Thank you very much.
Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Song. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him
my deliverance.